Well, good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing? Good. As a youth ministry person and a youth pastor, we always call speaking in the main service as big church. So I'm excited to be here at big church this morning, speaking with you guys, sharing a little bit about Youth for Christ and what God's doing in Moose Jaw. But like any good missionary, I have to show you a picture of my family. So there's my family. Many of you know my family. My wife, Erin, and I were on staff here at Northgate for, can't remember how many years, 4 or 5 years. And so it's always kind of like coming home here. And even just as I'm looking around here now, I'm seeing a lot of faces I recognize and some I wasn't even expecting to see here this morning. And so I just need to take a moment to kind of take it in, because it's always so great being back here. And last night I was able to come be a part of the youth event, and Garrett put on just an awesome event last night, and I love being able to be a part of that. But this is my family, my wife Erin, and she in her arms is Asher, and then we have Isaac. And if you know, those of you that know Isaac, he just turned 18 and he's graduating this year. So yes, they've grown up. And then we have Claire in the front there, and Oliver in the back. And we're doing well. We live out in Caronport and just enjoying living life out there and what the Lord's doing through the ministry. I do want to say thank you so much to you as a congregation. You guys have been so supportive of us and our ministry. You've prayed for us. You've encouraged us as a congregation, and many, many of you as individuals. And it means so much. And so I do want to say thank you so much for doing that. I've been doing youth ministry for just about 25 years now. And some people would say, the youth I work with would say, wow, you're old. But I say, I'm experienced. So I have 25 years experience with youth ministry. With YFC, I've been a full-time missionary with YFC for the last 9 years. And my connection with YFC actually happened before we even left. When I was a youth pastor here at Northgate, the Cellar Youth Center opened up there. And so we formed a strong partnership with them and just always loved the ministry that they did. And so when we were moving to Saskatchewan, I wanted to see what YFC or Youth Unlimited, same organization, were doing out there. And they had a space available for me to jump on and start working in their housing ministry there, and eventually move from the housing ministry into the full-time community ministry, which is what I'm doing now. And for those of you that don't know what YFC is or Youth for Christ is, I'll just give you a real brief history. They've been operating for over 70 years, and Youth for Christ kind of came about at the end of World War II when the soldiers were coming back, and the world was still just wrestling with, you know, the tragedy and the grief and the loss of everything that happened during the war, and there was so much uncertainty, and there was this group that got together, and they started praying and sensing that God wanted to share his hope with these young people. And so they started these gatherings, and they turned into these huge gatherings with thousands and thousands of youth coming out to them. And you know how they drew them there? They brought choirs in. So they would bring a choir in, and everyone's like, we got to go see that choir. So then they would all come out, and they'd listen to the choir, they'd hear the gospel message, and our very first full-time missionary was actually Billy Graham. And so that's where he got his start, and from there, started realizing that these big events, though they were great and they were fun, we were missing this component of building these deep relationships of trust with the youth. So then they started doing these local programs and sports programs and Bible programs in schools and different things like that. And that's where we are today, where YFC really wants to be building these relationships of deep trust with these kids, so that when we share the hope of Jesus with them, we're in that relationship with them and they trust us and know what we're saying is true and that we want what's best for them. So YFC is ministering in over 100 countries around the world. And we all have the same message that we see a hope and potential in these kids, and we want to see them living fully in Christ, and so that's what we're doing. In Canada, we have 37 chapters, and chapters, you can kind of think of YFC as maybe a denomination. The chapters are the local expression of that denomination, like a local church is. And we have hundreds of staff working with thousands of volunteers ministering to tens of thousands of youth across Canada. So in Moose Jaw, we have one staff, but he's like really handsome. So I don't know why we don't have more staff yet. But there's one staff, we have about 20 volunteers, and we're working with around 150 youth right now a week across 6 different programs. However, in Moose Jaw, there's over 4,000 youth, And when I talked to the other youth pastors and the other ministries, we're figuring we're working with about 400 of those 4,000 youth. So there's still a lot of work to be done in Moose Jaw. And so this morning I want to tell you some stories about what's happening with Moose Jaw Youth for Christ to kind of introduce you to what we do, but ultimately just to point all the attention and glory back to God for what he's doing at Moose Jaw in the lives of the youth and their families that we get to work with. And I kind of want to frame it all around this verse, Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Now, again, as any good person that works with youth, by this point, I know that those youth are probably unengaged, so I have to do something to get them back in. So we do these would you rather questions. And so some of them are very silly, like would you rather have fingers for toes or toes for fingers, right? These really deep things that we want the youth to be thinking about. But this morning, I have a question for you, so I want you to turn to your neighbors. Don't worry, it hopefully won't be a hard question. If you were going on vacation, would you rather plan everything out in advance or just see what happens? So turn to your neighbor, just take 30 seconds. Would you rather plan it all out or just see what happens? All right, I'm gonna bring it back. Hopefully you had a chance. So where are all the planet out people? My people. Where are all you terrifying other people that don't want to? Our neighbors were going away for a camping trip for 3 weeks, and just the evening before they were going to leave, I said, "Oh, where are you guys going?" And they said, "Oh, we don't know yet. When we get to the highway, we'll decide if we turn left or right." And I was like, "Nope." I was feeling anxious for them, but. Well, they're good. So I would definitely fall on the planning side of things. I like to have a plan, know what's happening. I kind of like to think of what the risks might be and kind of manage those risks in advance. But that often means then I tend to plan smaller. I tend to plan safer. Some people dream these big, huge dreams. And that's really just not me. I'm not a super overly ambitious person. But that's why I'm thankful, so thankful that it's God's plans that prevail and his purpose and that he has the power to make them come about. And when we take Proverbs 19:21 and we combine that with Ephesians 3:20, that describes God as being able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine according to his power that is at work within us, things start to get pretty fun. Or for us planners, pretty terrifying, right? What's going to happen? But don't we see that displayed in the Bible over and over again? Moses is just like, I'm just going to take care of some sheep. The burning bush. God had different plans. David, I'm just going to deliver some supplies to my brothers. Goliath, different plan. Noah, Abraham, Jeremiah, Jonah, Gideon, Peter, Paul, we see it everywhere. We can make our plans, but often God has something better that he wants to do. And I'm so thankful it's his purpose that prevails. And I know that God has called me to establish Moose Jaw Youth for Christ. It's been affirmed and confirmed in so many ways, but on paper, I don't feel like I'm the right guy. I'm not overly, you know, charismatic or have lots of charisma, as the teens say, or what do you say, Riz? Is that what you guys say? No one says that anymore, right? In fact, one of my friends, I was speaking at his church, and he introduced me as, "This is Nathan, he's the least charismatic person I know," which is a great way to introduce a speaker, right? Everyone else is, oh boy. And then last week, we're out at Briarcrest College, and they were having their big, huge youth event, and one of my friends was there, and he said, "I've been reading this book, and it reminds me of you. It's about a 60-year-old priest who's really boring and does all these mundane things." And I was like, "What? What do people think of me?" So, I don't feel like I'm the guy. I'm not overly ambitious. I'm cautious to a fault. I lack courage. I really do. I'm 43, and I think sometimes when I'm in the schools, kids probably think I'm the janitor wandering around the school. But I know that I'm supposed to be there, and I've been moving forward in obedience and honestly more than a little bit of fear of of these places and these spaces that God is leading me into and opening doors. And the Lord has been faithful, and he continues to be faithful. And so I want to tell you a few stories about Moose Jaw Youth for Christ, and if you've been following my updates, you may have heard some of them, but kind of put them all together here this morning for you. And as I share these things, I do really want to point all the glory and attention to God, because I feel like I'm just tagging along with what God's doing. I'm saying, oh, Lord, maybe we could do this. And he's like, yeah, that sounds pretty good, but let's add all this stuff to it too. And so I really do want to point all that attention to the Lord. God keeps showing me that my plans are good, but that his plans and his purpose are so much better, and that they're going to prevail, and I'm so thankful for that. So we have a number of programs, and the first thing I want to talk about is we have these school programs. So I go into the high school, two of the different high schools at lunch, and we do these Bible-based, Christ-centered programs. And it's Central Alpha and Peacock Christian Fellowship, and the Peacock Christian Fellowship one, our posters kept getting torn down, and so I just made one of those Jesus fish posters and stuck it up, and those don't get torn down. So I think kids just think it's a fishing club or something, but they keep coming. And the Central program came about 7 years ago. A Briarcrest student named Jason, it came time for him to do his internship, and he wasn't sure what he was going to do. He's in the youth ministry program, and he thought, oh, I know, I'll just go start a Christian club at a high school, not knowing that you don't just go start a Christian club at a high school. So Jason went to the first school and basically got laughed out of the door, and to his credit, he got in his car and went to the next school. And he went in and talked to the principal, and the principal said, yeah, sure, why not? And so Jason started this program at Central. And shortly after it started, I got connected with Jason, and Jason has now gone on to do ministry with Muslim people, and I've been able to take over the Central program here. And it's been an awesome program, again, going for 7 years. And we do the Alpha program with the kids. We talk about faith and life. We spend time with them there in the school. But at the end of last year, all of our students had graduated except one girl, Judy. And then over the summer, a new principal came. And when the new principal comes, it's always sort of like, are they going to let us back in? What's going to happen here? And so I was praying about it and thinking, well, maybe this is it. Maybe God's closing the door here at Central. And so I went and I met with the new principal and just told her what we do. And she's like, oh, we're so glad you're here. I've heard about what you're doing. We are glad that God is in our school. I was like, oh, okay. So we started the program again. We had one student named Judy. And on that first day, we had a whole pile of new kids come. I don't even know where they came from. And now we've got, again, this year, between 15 and 20 kids that come out each week for this program. Most of them have no faith background or anything. And they come, we feed them lunch, we talk about life and faith and introduce them to Jesus. And it's pretty amazing. God's purposes prevail. The other school is Peacock. And about 5 years ago, I knew we needed to be in more schools. I didn't know how it was going to happen. And I'd always drive around and park in front of Peacock, and I'd just pray, Lord, open the doors to this school, you know, someday that we could be in here doing a program. And I didn't know what that was going to look like, and I was thinking, I don't even know what would happen if we'd do that. And so, again, I was safe. I'm like, I'll just keep praying about it. But in the meantime, God was moving in the hearts of the students at Peacock. And a number of the Christian students got together and said, hey, we want a club at our school. We want to sing worship songs and do Bible study. So they went to their guidance counselor, who they didn't know, but she was also a Christian. She said, we want to do this program. And Corey was like, well, I don't know how to start this. I can't just, as a staff here, start this Christian program. So she started praying about it. And then a mutual friend of ours connected me and Corey together, and we started talking. And met with the principal and said, here's what we're thinking. And he said, well, you're already doing something at Central, so I don't see why you can't do something here. And he said, but I don't think there's any need for it. So we got ready, and on our first day, we had 13 youth come out, and two of them were Muslim students. And I have no idea how they heard about it or why they came out, but they came out. And then the principal stuck his head in the door. And then after he came and found me, he said, I guess there is a need. I'm so glad that you're here to meet this need. And so Peacock is a really fun one, because we kind of have this question that guides us. How do you plant a church in a high school? And that's what we're doing. I bring my Bible and I bring my guitar and we sing worship songs. We do a Bible study. We have conversation. We pray with the kids right there in the school. And I'm afraid every time. And just a couple stories about this. We were singing a song, and I was sitting with my back to the door, and we were singing, Holy Spirit, You're Welcome Here. In the high school there, and the kids are all there singing. They don't even really know what they're singing, but they love the songs. And that day I was like, should we close the door? Like, they're way braver than me, and they're like, no, we want everyone to hear us. So we went, we're singing this song, and all of a sudden I sense there's someone standing. Not behind me, like right over me. So I've got my guitar, and they're right here. And I'm thinking, well, what do I do? So I just keep going. The kids are singing it out. We finish the song, and I look, and it's the vice principal. And he goes, what are you guys doing in here? And I thought, this is it. We're out. And one of the kids says, we're singing worship songs to God. And he goes, it sounds great. Keep it up. It's like, oh, man, okay, Lord, we're good to go. Another time, we were meeting in the classroom, and there was just this teacher sitting at the desk. I have no idea who she was or why she was there. I don't know if they had sent her in to check up on us or what. But we were talking to the kids about the parable of the lost sheep and talking about that idea of Jesus, you know, leaving the 99 to go find that one and explaining what that love looks like. And we sang a song that went along with it. And I'm watching that teacher in the back, and I can see that she's getting emotional. And at the end of the song, she says, what a beautiful message. She said, I'm so glad that you're here. And then she left. And that's Peacock Christian Fellowship. And so we have this dream. Darcy, who's one of the volunteers, he has this dream that we're going to have to rent the school auditorium because that's how many kids are going to come out to our program. And we got a little bit of a taste of that. Darcy's a Christian hip-hop artist. He does rap songs and things like that. And some of the kids from the school came across him on Instagram and heard one of his songs. And it's all like just steeped in the gospel and the love of Jesus. And they told the school, and they got students together and said, Mr. P's got to sing, he's got to sing, he's got to sing. So at one of their assemblies where all the students were gathered in that auditorium, Darcy was able to do one of his songs that just clearly talked about the love of Jesus in front of that school. So, man, God's plans are way bigger and his purposes prevail. Then the next thing we do is we have a drop-in program. And in that drop-in program, 5 years ago, when I was transitioning out of housing, we were looking at developing community programs, the conversation kind of going there, it would be great if there was something after school for junior high students. And drop-ins are kind of, YFC does those, but I was thinking, there's so many hurdles, we don't have space, we don't have the funding to do it, and so I'll just pray about it, and we'll move in that direction at some point. Again, enter God. God moved in the heart of a pastor in town. He heard about me, he called me, took me out for lunch. I'd never met him before, and he said, hey, we got a whole bunch of space in our basement. Could you guys use it for like a drop-in or something? I was like, yes, we could. And he said, we'll renovate the whole space for you. Didn't need the funding to renovate it. And so we were able to use the funds that came in to fill that space with things that we can use to be in a relationship with those kids. When we were going to go open the drop-in, it was all ready to go. I thought, well, I'll just take posters around to the local schools that are near the drop-in here. And called the schools, and they're like, nope, you have to have approval from the school board. And I said, oh, okay. So I called the school board office, talked to the secretary, and she's like, oh, you got to talk to someone else who transferred me to ask about this. And little did I know that the principal from Peacock had just accepted a job at the school board office. He knew me, he knew my heart, he knew how we cared for the students. And he said, Nathan, you can put any poster up in any school that you want to. You can't tell me God wasn't orchestrating things in advance. So I sent the posters out to the school, and one school in particular, William Grayson, they were so excited. They were about 2 blocks from the drop-in. They printed the posters up, they stuck them on the walls, they sent notices home to parents, and that's where most of our students come from, is from William Grayson. And the story doesn't end there, though. The next time I was going to update posters for what we were doing, I thought, I'll just go to the school, I'll go in, and I'll drop them off. So I took the posters in, and I gave them to the secretary, and said, I'm from NLC Drop, and we're just bringing posters. And the principal heard me, and she came out, and she's like, oh, you're Nathan? We haven't met yet. I'm Robin. Yeah, I'll just take you around to all the classes, and you can tell everybody about the drop-in. I was afraid, but I was going to drop posters off. God's like, no, let's just put you in front of every middle school student in the building. And so that's what we did. We went around. I talked to every single class, told them about drop-in. And then afterwards, Robin brought me into her office, and she just talked to me about how much she loved the students and how their lives are hard and their families are broken. And in tears, she talked about how she was so excited that we were there and there was someone else in this community that cared for these kids. And so now I go into William Grayson every week. Tuesday afternoon, I go in and I read with kids and help them with math. And I take kids out of the class when the teacher just really needs a break. And we'll play games with them. And I supervise a gym time for the grade 7-8s because they're too cool for recess now. So then because I'm there, they get to go in the gym and shoot hoops and play badminton and do those sorts of things. And the staff know me, and the pastor from the church actually comes along too, and he's there. So the staff know us and the youth know us, and we get to invite them to drop in, and they get to come be a part of drop in. And we're seeing that drop in grow. And those kids, they come to drop in and they have a great time. We've done Alpha with them, and we show them what a functional relationship can look like. And we don't have any female volunteers, which we really need female volunteers. But it's actually really interesting. So many of these kids are coming from broken homes. So many kids don't have dads. And a lot of these kids had said, man, you're just like that uncle that I really needed in my life. And so we get to be that for these kids. And one of the fun things is each year we do YFC camp. And what I love about YFC camp, I'm a huge fan of camp ministry, but what's really unique about YFC camp is we work with the kids all year. We're building relationships of trust with them and their families. And then they get in my van and I take them to camp and I'm their counselor for the week. And everything that happens at camp, all the things that God's doing in their lives, we talk about it, we unpack it. And at the end of the week when we're all exhausted and they're really stinky, I put them back in my van and we drive home. And then that following Tuesday, they're back at drop-in. And the relationship just keeps continuing. And so it's really great. So in terms of the drop-in, we've been open 2 years now. And it's not a huge space. We're already bursting at the seams. But it's pretty amazing. And so again, with the drop-in, my plan was someday. Lord, I don't know how this happened. It'd be fun if we did it. And God's like, no, these kids need it right now. And also they need you to be in their school. And those teachers need you to be there supporting them as well. And so I go. And it's amazing. The other thing we do is currently we partner with a church in Moose Jaw, and as part of that partnership, I run the youth ministry there at the church. And it's a very unique partnership. There's only a couple others like it in Canada, and I've always wanted all of our YFC ministries in Moose Jaw to be connected to a local church somehow, because we want to connect these kids into a church, and we want their families to start going to church with them. And so I thought, well, this will be a great way if I'm leading the youth ministry there and kids are coming in, we can help get them connected to the church. And so I thought, yeah, I'll come alongside this church. There was about 20 kids, and I thought that would be manageable. I love being a youth pastor. I love youth ministry. We'll come in, and my plan was just to, again, come in, love these kids, bring some health and stability back to the ministry there. But God had different plans, and his purposes prevail. And in the last 4 years, that ministry has quadrupled in size. And we now run a junior high youth group, a senior high youth group, and a Sunday school program for those kids. And we get kids all the way that have been in church for their entire life to kids that have no idea who Jesus is coming to that program. And each week we get to just pour into these kids' lives. And there's kids connecting from the community. There's kids getting introduced to Christ. There's young leaders that are being given the chance to explore some of their leadership abilities as student leaders. And it's pretty amazing. And so here again, it's the pattern. My plan was small. My plan was easy. My plan was manageable. And God was like, my purpose is going to prevail here, Nathan. Here's a whole pile more kids. But now we have this really great problem. Well, yeah. There's too many kids and there's not enough of me. And so at the end of this month here, we're going to be stepping out of that partnership, which it's sad for me because I love those kids and I love the ministry there. But the church is now in a place where they're ready to hire a full-time youth pastor to come and be able to put undivided attention to those kids' lives. So I'm excited to step out of that and pass it on to them and to be just focusing more time and attention into our community outreach programs. So I'm really excited for what God has in store for there. So where are we going? Now my plans, because of the last several years of I've gotten a bit braver, so I don't want to plan too big because I don't know what God's going to do then. But we want to expand our drop-ins, and we don't want our drop-in to grow bigger. We want to have more drop-ins because I want to keep the program small enough that we can build relationships of trust with these kids. The more kids that you get, the more difficult it is, and the more personalities, especially if they're, struggle socially and things like that, the more we get in a space, the more difficult it can be. But so we want to expand drop-in and have more drop-ins in the city. We want to do more programs, be in more schools, and again, more drop-ins. But a huge thing that's on my heart is ministry to youth with special needs. And I'm not sure about programs that are here in the city, but in Moose Jaw, there's nothing for these kids. And so I thought, for sure, YFC across Canada, there's got to be chapters that are doing this. I'll just take whatever they're doing, and we'll plug it in here, and we'll figure out how to make it work. Nobody is doing it across Canada. And I just think these are the least of the least of kids, that they just need a community and a place where they're loved, and a place where their families can feel supported as well. And so I have no doubt that that's gonna come about. And but please be praying for that. I had a great conversation with Lauren before the service, and he gave me some great thoughts about that. And so I'm excited. The other thing is, in Moose Jaw, you can sort of see it there. It's pretty small. There's this old school building that's kind of, it was not abandoned, but they weren't using it anymore. And about 10 years ago, someone bought it. They renovated the whole building, new windows, plumbing, electrical, heating, the whole thing. It's been sitting there for 10 years, not being used. And I just think that that building is for us. And I would love to just move in there, Moose Jaw Youth and Family Center, and we just have all these things in there where we can serve the community, from dance programs to life skills development to financial help for financial planning help and budgeting, things like that for families. And so be praying for that too. And everything that tries to go in there, it falls apart. And finally the mayor, I was meeting with the mayor, and he said, "Nathan, I think maybe this building is for you guys." So we'll see. I mean, God's purposes prevail, right? So God has done significant things in growing this ministry, and in a lot of ways, in profound ways. And in the last 4 years, we've gone from no kids a week to almost 150 kids a week attending our programs. And instead of shrinking through COVID, we grew steadily, which was amazing. I remember 4 years ago sitting in my office just sort of dreaming and hoping and thinking maybe someday we could reach 70 kids here in this community. And God just blew that wide open. But it's more than just the numbers. Obviously, we want lots of kids coming to the program so that we can introduce them to Jesus and they can find that hope in their life. But each one of those numbers represents a kid that has a personality, that has issues going on in their lives, that has a lot of the kids we work with are coming from broken homes. And so each of those kids have a story, and each of those kids are important. And I just quickly want to share with you guys one last thing here about one of the girls that started coming to youth group. Had sort of a loose faith background, but some friends of hers came to youth group, so she started coming. And she liked it so much that she started going to another youth group too, so she would come to two youth groups, and was hearing about Jesus. And she said, she just gave her testimony at youth this last week. She said, "I used to go and I didn't care about what the story was, what Nathan was talking about. I just wanted to be there with my friends." And then she said, "And then I started caring about it." And so she went to a youth retreat with the other church, and she gave her life to the Lord at that youth retreat. And she said, "Then I started caring about the stories, about what was being said." And then she said, "Then I started going home, and I started telling my family those stories." And last week, her family, addiction issues, broken family, her dad's remarried, the stepmom has had significant addiction issues. Last week, I was at a different church co-baptizing one of the youth, and her family was there, and her stepmom got baptized that morning. And how that family ended up at the church was, Ashlyn said, "All I want for my birthday is for us to go to church as a family." And so they went to church as a family, and they've been going ever since, and God's doing amazing things. And what was so awesome for me to see was when her stepmom got baptized, how many people in the church came around them and were supporting them and loving them. And I mean, that's why we do these programs. That's why we reach out. Yes, we want these kids' lives to be transformed, but if they, like Ashlyn, can take that home back to their families, how amazing is that? So that's kind of what we're about. That's what I get to do every week. I'm blown away that I get to do this still. So how can you be involved with us? How can you partner with us? The first would be, please be praying for us. And this morning already, people have said that they pray for us. They pray for us regularly. And thank you so much for that. I'm sharing all the fun stuff here this morning. There's a lot of really, really hard stuff. The stories we hear from kids, the opposition we face in the schools, and even just the spiritual warfare that we encounter. We need people praying. That's the number one way that you can partner with us. The other thing is encouragement. Oh, man, sending those texts, those emails. We have one church that literally writes us letters and sends them in the mail as a way of encouragement. When we get those things, when I get those things, it is so encouraging, because it can be very discouraging when you're working with these at-risk and underserved kids. Sometimes it's one step forward, five steps back, and you're like, how are we ever going to get back to that first place? It can be really, really discouraging. So the encouragement is amazing. And the last way to partner with us is to support, partner with our ministry and support what we're doing. And you guys, as a congregation, do that already, and I'm so thankful for that. But as a full-time missionary, we rely on the generosity of like-minded people that are partnering with us, coming alongside us, sending us to be where they can't be so that the gospel can be brought to these kids that desperately need it. So I have story after story of how God has taken small plans and blown them wide open. And Youth for Christ Moose Jaw, it's not mine. Again, I want to point all the glory to God. I plan small, I plan safe, I'm not ambitious, apparently I'm not charismatic, and I remind people of a 60-year-old priest. But I'm so thankful that it's not my plans that prevail and that it's the Lord's. And so my encouragement for you this morning is, if God is stirring something in your heart, that you would say, yeah, Lord, I'll do that. I'll talk to that coworker. Or maybe, as I'm talking this morning, some of you guys are thinking, maybe I could start a Christian club in my high school. Because that's where it starts, students wanting it. But I encourage you to be brave and just to step into those things. Be bold and courageous. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that it is your plans that prevail. And that you have the power and the ability to make those plans come about. And God, I'm so thankful that you have entrusted me to be a part of your plans in Moose Jaw. And God, I thank you for Northgate. I thank you for the plans that you have for them. And God, I pray that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, that you would give them courage and boldness in all the places and the spaces that they go, to bring the love and the hope and the light of Jesus Christ to those spaces. And God, as they are collecting their own stories about what you are doing and how you have blown their plans wide open, that God, that would bring you so much glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for giving me the time to share.